I thought my shoulder was going to fall off last night. And if that didn't make matters much worse, I left here and I was going to stop by the store. I needed to pick a couple things up. And there was a guy that jumped out of his car, had a ski mask on, and a bulletproof vest. I kid, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I sat in the car, and I didn't know whether I needed to run, if I needed to go in and help intervene, if I needed to call the cops. I didn't know if it was normal. I don't know how you all do things here in Virginia. We don't roll that way in South Carolina. So I said, I'm going to do like every good Baptist, bless God. I'm going to sit, watch, and see what happens. And I sat there, and I watched him, and he did his transaction, and he walked out, got in his car, and went home. And before I got out of my car, I made sure he was good and gone. And I went in, and everything was A-OK. But I'm just thankful to be here tonight in one piece. I guarantee you this is a trip I will never forget. But I appreciate the Lord, and I appreciate what God's doing, how He lines things up. I was studying today, praying about what God would have me to do, and God would not let this thought get off my heart. I'm real burdened tonight, maybe about one, maybe about two in here. Tonight may be your night that you need to throw in with Christ. I believe, as harsh as it may sound, I believe in God's deadlines. I believe you can go too far and you can take advantage of the grace of God. Tonight might be the night somebody in here needs to do business with the Lord. I'm going to give you what God's given me. I will be quick and I'll be out of the way. If you're there with me in 2 Chronicles 36, say amen. I want to start reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending." Notice this, "because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophet until the wrath of the Lord rose against His people till there was no remedy." By the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on when God has had enough. When God has had enough. Will you pray with me tonight? My Heavenly Father, I love You tonight, Lord. I thank You, God, for Your mercy. I thank You, Lord, for Your grace. God, I thank You, Lord, for what we've felt in our spirit tonight. God, I thank You, Father, for Your goodness. God, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, as we try to dive into Your Word, God, I pray that You would help us to preach. God, I pray that You would help people to open their ears, open their hearts tonight. God, I do pray if there's one in here lost, God, Lord, they may be on the brink of eternity tonight. God, I pray that You would draw them to Yourself. God, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Ghost would be strong in here. God, I can't make anybody get saved. God, I can't preach, God, to them without Your help. So, God, I pray for the next few moments, Lord, would You take over? God, may our hearts be tender to You. God, may our minds be tender to You. And, Lord, I pray when everything's said and done, You will get all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. God, I pray right now that You would bind back the devil. God, I pray that You would set Your war angels around this place. God, I pray that You would remove anything, God, that he might try to cause somebody to slip off into an eternity. Lord, we need You tonight, Father. We can't do this on our own. God, it would be impossible. So, God, we're begging You. God, we're asking You. God, we're pleading with You, God, for the next little while. Would You help us, Lord? Breathe on us, Father, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. When you get to 2 Chronicles chapter number 36, you come at a time in the life of the children of God where the kingdoms of God have been split. You got 10 kingdoms in the north. They rebelled on God. They turned their back on God. They didn't listen to God. And they were carried off by the Assyrians. There were two tribes left in the southern kingdom of Judah in Jerusalem. And if you study their history, all through there was a bad king that would rise up. Then a good king would rise up, and they would get their hearts right with God. They would get things right. They would try to do right in the sight of the Lord. But towards the end of the kingdom of Judah, there rose up four bad bad kings. And that's where we are in our scripture tonight. I love what the Lord does. God begins to give grace and He begins to give mercy. But you notice, and we'll look through the scripture, of the events that take place when God really does have enough. The first thing I want you to notice tonight in our scripture, the first thing that the Lord does is notice the compassion He displays. Look back at verse number 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes, sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. I'm glad the first time I ever messed up on God, God didn't send me to hell. I'm glad the first time as a sinner I rejected the Lord and I didn't ask God to save me. God didn't say, you know what, that's it for you. I'm going to send you to hell. I'm done with you. But aren't you glad that God has compassion? I don't understand these people that say, why would a loving God send people to hell? You know why people go to hell? Because they reject what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary. If you realize what all Jesus did for you tonight on Calvary, if you realize how He bankrupted heaven, man, I've sat down and I've studied before what Christ really went through, all the darkness, all the pain, all the things. I don't see how anybody could reject the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the worst time in Israel's history, and even in the worst time when they were turned their back on God the most, if you read the scripture and you study it out, the Bible says they were given into idolatry. The Bible says they were using the things of God in a worldly way. I mean, they were as low as what you could go. But the Father still had compassion. God was ready to give them one more chance to turn their heart to Him. He was ready to give them one more opportunity to turn from their wicked ways and to turn from their sin. I'm so glad He is a compassionate God tonight. And if you're here and you're lost, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, let me just say, God has compassion on you tonight. It's not an accident or an incident that you're here. You may say, well, I just didn't have nothing else better to do tonight. I didn't have nothing else going on. Mama made me come. Daddy made me come. It's just a coincidence that this happened. No, no, no. You're here on purpose for a purpose. Do you realize in eternity past, God saw this moment. God saw this service. God saw everything going on here. He said, you know what? I want them to come. I want them to hear about my Son. I want them to hear about what He done. It ain't no accident tonight that you're here, honey, but God has saw it in His heart to have compassion on you. And God is not, let me just get something straight with you. God ain't sitting up in heaven wanting to destroy everybody all the time. You do understand that, right? God ain't just looking when you mess up one time or you fail God. He ain't got a lightning bolt in His hand like the world's made us think, where He's ready to throw down and just strike you down. But the Lord is patient. He is loving. Do you realize tonight, you want to know how great the compassion of God is in this place tonight? Why weren't you born over in Iraq or Iran where they never hear the gospel? Why weren't you born in China? We live in the greatest country in the world. God continually gives us that compassion and He gives us that grace. Man, I was reading and I was studying all this and I saw how bad it really was. I'll be honest. Some people I just ain't got a lot of patience with. If you with me, say amen. Y'all pray for me when I leave here. I just ain't got a lot of patience for some people. Some people, I mean, y'all pray for, they just get on your nerves. They get up under your skin. You tell them to do one thing and they do the exact opposite. You try to help them in one area and they go the exact different way. And you say, my Lord, God, I can't have patience with them. You're just ready to throw them to the dogs. If you ever been there with me, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I ain't the only one in the house of God tonight. But in all of their mess, do you realize God gave them everything that He had just like He has us? God's gave them grace. God's gave them mercy. You know what they did? They took advantage of it. What if God, the greatest attribute of the Lord is holiness. I want you to understand that. What if God really did give us what we deserve? You know God should have not have met with you all the past 2 weeks like He has, but you know why He's done it? Because He's compassionate. You know why He hadn't wiped America off of the map, and you look at all the mess, and you look at all the things going on, and you look at all the problems we have. We should have been done for a long time ago. But you know why God has done it? Because He has compassion. And I don't know who's here tonight. And I don't know who needs to hear this. I don't know your situation. A lot of you in here, y'all don't know me, and I don't know y'all. I don't know you on that type of level. I don't know your past. I don't know your history. I don't know what all you've been through. I don't know the battles you fight. But there is one thing I knew. God loved you enough to send His Son to the cross, to bankrupt heaven, to bleed, to die, that you may have a way of escape from a devil's hell. You say, preacher, I just feel like tonight, there's nobody that loves me. There's nobody that cares. The Lord Jesus loves you. He loves you more than you could ever, anybody in this world could ever love you. There was a compassion that was displayed. God gave them one more chance, one more opportunity to get it right. But I want you to notice the second thing that happens in the story. Not only was there a compassion that was displayed, but there was a choice that was decided. Look back in verse number 16. After all that grace, after all that mercy, God wanted them to turn from their sin. What did they do with it? But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people. Maybe one of the most scariest phrases in all the Bible, but one of the most scariest sentences. Till there was no remedy. Look at the words your Bible used. They mocked them. They despised them. They misused them. You say, how is that, preacher? If you study the life of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, some of them prophets, you know what they did? When they would go with a tender heart, just like we're trying to do tonight, and they would look at the kings and they would look at the people, they would say, God's getting ready to judge you. God's getting ready to bring His wrath. You know what you've done wrong. You know who you are. You know of all the sin. You know of all the idolatry. God's given you an opportunity to get it right. God's given you an opportunity for one more chance to serve Him. You know what sins people to hell? Pride. I can only imagine the king at this time was Zedekiah, the last king Israel has ever had. Israel's never had another king. How serious this is up to that point. I could imagine seeing him sitting on his throne in all his glory, all his cabinet with him, all his counselors, and he's looking at them prophets and he begins to mock them. He begins to make fun of the things of God. He looks at Jeremiah, he looks at Ezekiel and said, you don't even know what you're talking about. You just go on. The Bible says that he put them in prison. Threw them in a dry cistern. A cistern is, it was a big bathing pool, a ritual bathing pool. Some of them things could be up to 9 to 10 feet deep. And left them for dead. Because he thought, well, I got this all figured out. I'm the king. I'm running this show. I know what I'm doing. There's been a lot of people slip off into hell for that same reason. I don't need Jesus. I can run my own life. I can do my own thing. I got it all figured out. And I got it all under control. You know the thing God hates the most? It is that pride. And you do have a choice tonight. You read through all of your Bible, the Bible, you know what the Bible's full of? It's full of choices. Eve had the decision whether she was going to listen to the serpent or not. Noah, just like we talked about last night, Noah could have not built the ark. He had to make the decision to do it. And all in your life, you know what our day consists of? We make choices. I woke up this morning, I chose to walk on the treadmill because I needed it after y'all gave me that big old basket and I ate half of it last night. I chose what shirt I was going to wear. I chose where I was going to eat today. I chose what I did today. When I leave here, I'm going to choose what I do tonight. I'm going to choose whether or not I'm going to call my wife. I hope this ain't live stream because I am on caller, honey. I promise you're going to get a call from me. But you understand, choices determine our lives. And it would have been so easy for them to turn from their evil and to choose the Lord. It would have been so easy. See, salvation ain't complicated. We make it a whole lot harder than what it is. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How hard is that? But people look and they look at everything that they have to give up and they got to get in all this logic and all this stuff. No, you know how you, do you know how you get saved? You get it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 8, I believe, you are saved by grace through faith. You just got to take God at His word. You want to know how I know I'm saved tonight? It's because as a 12-year-old boy, I bowed my head. And let me just say this. Some of you in here, you may be struggling with this. The devil says, well, you ain't saved because you didn't say the right thing. You didn't do the right. You didn't do this. You didn't. All I had to do was say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't know how to go to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Lord Jesus, would you save me? And I believe it was that powerful and that enough to take care of it. So many people make it more complicated than what it really is. You just got to take God at His word. And I believe if they would have done that, if they would have left all the idols behind, they would have left all the things behind. Because the fact of the matter is, the Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for how long? A season. You can go over here. And you can have fun. You can run with the world. You can act like... You can choose that tonight, but you will pay. There is a price to pay for dirty living. And there's so many people that get over here. And a lot of times when you get stuck in it, it's a whole lot harder to get out of it. But the choice is yours tonight. I wish I could. I don't know who here's lost. I don't know who's saved. I wish I could get saved for everybody in here, but I can't. Because God gave me the choice on April 11th, 2007, whether I was going to accept Him or I was not going to accept Him. God ain't going to make you do anything. You do realize that. God is a perfect gentleman. He will come and He will deal with your heart. God makes it so obvious. He says, you're lost. You need to be saved. You don't know 100% if you're going to heaven. That's just as good as saying you're lost. And God says, you know you need it. And that war goes on the inside. Your heart beats out of your chest. Your hands start getting sweaty. All these things start going through your mind. But what if you come to church? You don't hear that anymore. You sit and I've learned and I've noticed sometimes that voice can get a little more faint and a little more faint until it's not there. How do you know you're supposed to get saved if the Holy Ghost never tells you you're lost? God's got to reveal, God's got to cut that light on in your soul. But there can come to a place where God says, okay, you don't want to listen. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I want to give you heaven. I want to give you abundant life. I want to give you everything. But if you don't want to take it, the choice is yours. And it's sad that a lot of people have thought they were gaining everything, but they really lost everything. They thought they had it under control. They thought they could do it on your own. And I'll just be honest, the more I live and the more I learn I can't do anything without Jesus. I couldn't get up out of the bed this morning without the grace of the Almighty God guiding me and helping me. And I just feel this on my heart tonight. I don't know who's in here. And you say, preacher, you don't understand everything that I've done. You don't understand all the sin that I've, all the things I've done, all the lies I've... Let me say, if that does not matter with God. Because you know what I believe from our scripture tonight? I believe if them Israelites, if they would have done too much, God wouldn't have messed with them anymore. But God came by one more time to give them grace and to give them mercy. But the choice was on them, and the choice is on you tonight. And you might be here, and you are saved, but you've been living far from God. You have the decision whether you're going to come home or you're going to stay where you're at. We all have the choice of how close to Jesus we really want to be. I told you, God ain't going to make you. God ain't going to force you. One of the most powerful things God ever did to us, He gave us our own free will. Number one, there was a compassion that was displayed. Number two, there was a choice that was to be decided. But notice lastly with me tonight, there was a consequence that was declared. Look at your Bibles, verse number 17. Then the verse 16 says, till there was no remedy, there was no going back. Therefore he brought upon the king of the Chaldees, this is Babylon, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion upon young man or maiden or old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into His hand. You notice we saw in verse number 15, He had compassion. Verse number 17, the compassion's gone. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and his princes, all these He brought to Babylon. And they burnt down the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the godly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. The Bible says that God had compassion. He sent his prophets. He sent his men. They preached. They did what God told them to do. They chose not to listen. And God said, I've done everything. I don't believe the Lord was sitting up in heaven when all this was going on, saying, man, I'm glad they didn't choose me. Man, I'm glad to be able to wipe. I'm glad all this has happened. I believe God allowed it with a tear in His eye. I believe it hurt the heart of God deep. And that mighty Babylonian army came up. They said that they siege, what a siege is they would come around the walls and they would literally break those walls down till they could get through into the city. They sieged it for 2 years, starved them out. That's what history tells us. They went in and destroyed everything. And they were in captivity for 70 years. God does not play. God got to the place where He said, I've had enough. I've gave you compassion. I left it up to you, and you made the wrong choice. My daddy told me one of the greatest pieces of wisdom I've ever had in my life. Every choice you make, it's got a consequence. It can be a consequence for the good, or it can be a consequence for the bad. And unfortunately, this was a consequence for the bad. Do you know even today in Israel, I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to this. I spend a lot of my... People ask me, what's your hobby? I guess YouTube is my hobby. That's what I enjoy doing. But I'll spend hours on YouTube watching all these archaeologists that are digging up Israel and digging up the Holy Land. Do you realize they are still finding burn marks, preacher, on those walls where Babylon came and destroyed Israel? You can go online tonight and you can see it for yourself. And I think about every time, why was it so hard for them not to just throw in with God? Why was it so hard They lost Solomon's temple, lost their lives, lost everything. When you don't go with God, you will ultimately lose it all. And it took up to 1948 for Israel to become a nation again. Do you think it was a big deal what God was doing? What are you willing to pay tonight? What are you willing? You know you need to get saved. You know you need to give your life to the Lord. But you're over here and you're saying, well, the devil's got you weighing everything out. Let me help you tonight. Just throw in with Jesus. Just throw in with Jesus. He loves you to have enough to die for you. Have compassion. He's giving you the choice, but there will be a consequence no matter what you choose. Can I have somebody come help me on the piano? I'll give you this and I'll be out of the way tonight. I was in my hotel room today and I had brought a book with me that Lindsay bought me for Christmas. It was on the life of Dr. Percy Rays, one of my heroes. Started Camp Zion down in Myrtle, Mississippi. I was reading through that biography. And Dr. Ray had wrote about a revival he was preaching in my state in South Carolina. They said, Dr. Ray said, I was up behind the pulpit and I was closing my message I was doing. And God told me to give an invitation. So he said, I went through and I said, he said, God told me that there was at least one person in that church that was lost. And that God had had enough and this was their night. The preacher said, I kept giving the invitation, begging them, would you come, would you come? God wants to save you tonight. This may be your last opportunity. This could be it. He said, I went on and nobody moved. He said, I walked out of the church and people were talking, saying, I think Dr. Ray may have missed it. I don't think he really knew what he was talking about. They said there was a teenage boy and his mom got in their car and they were leaving that night. And he said, Mama, I need to tell you something. She said, what is it, baby? She said, that person Preacher Ray was talking about, it was me. He said, I should have gone forward, but I didn't want all those people to look at me. And he said, Mama, I really wasn't ready anyway. Notice the choice. They said the next Wednesday, that boy had got into some alcohol. And he began to drink, having a good time. See, there's every choice you make, there is a consequence. He made the decision to jump in his car. Flew down the road at 80 miles an hour. True story. And the story said he was going up a hill and a farmer's four mules had got loose and they were standing in the road. They said that boy hit one of those mules going over 80 miles an hour. Killed him instantly. Never got another chance. I'll take care of it later. I'll do it later. I don't want nobody to look at me. And from Dr. Ray's testimony, which he has no reason to lie, that boy is in the devil's hell today. You don't understand how precious these times are. You don't understand the compassion God is even having on you right now. Do you realize you could have a heart attack at any minute? You have no control over what goes on inside your body. I just lost an uncle last week, a great uncle. Had a massive stroke back to back to back. Gone. Praise the Lord, he knew God. You were not promised your next breath. God's warning somebody in here tonight. Tonight may be your night. You need to get past the doubt. You need to get past this, that. You just need to come to Jesus. You know what I do even in my own life? Even as a saved man, when I don't understand things, I just take it to God. I let Him work it all out. He does a pretty good job of it. I've been praying for God to show me some things about the Lord here lately. And I preached last Easter, preacher, And I sat down in my Bible, stuff I'd never seen before. God started showing me, and I got a better understanding of what I needed. All you got to do tonight is take God at His word. He said, for whosoever. You know who whosoever is? It's me and it's you. Shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. It's that easy. But you have the choice tonight. And no matter whether you choose Christ or you choose to live in a lost condition, you will face the consequence. You may not leave here. You may not have the same story like that boy had. But what if you did leave here and a drunk driver hit you head on? What if you didn't make it home tonight? When me and Lindsay first got married, I was helping her down at her work, get some things together. She was a school teacher. I was helping her get together for the school year. I was heading home. I was by myself. Talking about how fast you can be put into eternity. Thankfully, I wasn't looking down. I wasn't on my phone or nothing. But there was a guy in the other lane that passed out from a medical reason. He swerved into my lane going about 50 miles an hour. If I wouldn't have been paying attention, I wouldn't be here tonight. By the grace of God, I don't know how you made it. He had a telephone pole and survived. God showed me that just how fast life can be over. I'm not trying to scare you in here. I'm just trying to show you the reality of how precious life is, how precious this moment is. You may never get this moment back, but the choice is yours. As we stand to our feet tonight with heads bowed, eyes closed, just as we did last night, I want to ask you a simple question. I've done my best to mind the Lord tonight. I've done my best to preach to you about the love of God, the choice you have, and the ultimate consequence. Let me ask you, are you 100% sure if you were to die right now, you would go to heaven? You say, preacher, I got peace in my heart, and I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. You say, preacher, I don't know tonight. I don't know if I would go to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved. Here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to bother you, embarrass you. I wouldn't ask you to sign nothing. Nothing for no money in the world. All I want to do is just pray for you tonight. You say, preacher, nobody's looking around. It's just me and God. You say, preacher, that's me, who would slip their hand up and put it right back down. You say, preacher, I just don't know. God bless you. I see that hand. Would there be another? You say, preacher, I just don't know. I want to have peace when I leave here tonight. Would there be another? You say, preacher, would you just pray for me? I'm looking all over the church. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. One, you've lifted up your hand, you know who you are. And you might be here and you didn't. You don't know if you're saved and you didn't raise your hand. I'm going to give you an opportunity here in just a minute. But before I do, we're going to pray. Now, Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you, God, for the one, God, that said they did not know. God, I'm glad that your word says that we can know that we have eternal life. God, I pray for the one, Lord, maybe didn't raise their hand, God. They were just bashful. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. God, I pray you'd give them the boldness, give them the confidence, Lord, to come to know you tonight. Father, bless us in these next moments. With heads bowed, eyes closed, this is a private time. The one you did raise your hand, or you needed to raise your hand, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar tonight. We'll get somebody, if you're a lady, we'll get a lady to help you. If you're a man, we'll get a man to help you. But I would not leave here tonight without having that peace in my heart. Why don't you come right now and you get that thing settled? You get saved. You get it under the blood. God's offered His compassion. Now the choice is on you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Christians are praying. Maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? Come while there's time. The Lord wants to save you tonight. God loves you. You can believe Him by faith tonight. He'll do what He said He would do. Why don't you come? In the stillness of this moment, you can get it under the blood. You can get it settled tonight. I'm going to let her play through another verse, another course of that. Christians are praying, why don't you come? God wants to save you tonight. God wants to save you. The Lord loves you. There's Christians coming and praying. I feel it.